Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Live from Blake Street Tavern, here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
All right, we are live here on a Bud Light Football Friday at Blake Street Tavern, and we are joined now by a guy who's become a friend of the show in recent years, Manish Mehta, formerly of the New York Daily, formerly of the Daily News, the NFL reporter, has covered the Jets very, very closely for many years. And Manish, thanks for coming back on. Curious what the tone is in the Big Apple when the Jets, whether it's the fan base or media folks, the tone when it comes to the Denver Broncos.
Well, you know, Jet fans, even though they only had Teddy Bridgewater for one offseason, I think they're aware of, you know, what Teddy brings to the table. But, you know, from a Jet perspective, a New York perspective, there's just a lot of optimism. You know, the four interceptions notwithstanding from a week ago, there's a lot of optimism that Zach Wilson can ultimately be, you know, the answer to their issues. So when you talk about, you know, how important it is for the Jets to go to Denver and win, obviously the franchise, the organization, and the fan base would love that. But I think even more important to all of those people right now is that Zach Wilson has a much better showing than he had a week ago against the Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. Manish, looking at their offense, what's the strength of their offense right now for the Jets?
Wow, that's a tough question right off the bat. You know, they ran the ball fairly well last week. Their three running backs had a little over 4.5 yards a carry. You'll take that every week. They really struggled in week one against Carolina, though. The passing attack is a work in progress because, frankly, the offensive line hasn't been very good. Zach Wilson has been under duress, you know, 50% of the time, actually half the time that he drops back, he's been pressured. About a third of the time, he gets either hit or sacked. So, you know, that passing game hasn't taken off at all these first 2 weeks. So, you know, I'll flip your question and answer it by saying the weakest part by far is the offensive line. And because of that, this offense as a whole has been sputtering in the first two games with their new offensive coordinator, Michael Floor.
Yeah, and Manish, I mean, that seems like they've tried to address that offensive line, right? They took the guard, Vera Tucker, out of USC, Becton a year ago, who's hurt. They put a lot of money into it. It just hasn't shown, they just haven't been able to take it to the football field and improve. It's still there, Achilles heel.
Yeah, absolutely. They've actually been trying, Joe Douglas, the general manager, has been trying for like 2.5 years now. They brought in four new offensive linemen at the start of last year, and those that new group almost got Sam Darnold killed and then ultimately got Sam Darnold traded out of town. And this offensive line is slightly different because, as you mentioned, they used one of their draft picks they got in the Jamal Adams trade to move up to take Vera Tucker, and he struggled pretty mightily in his first game against Carolina. You know, you take that with a grain of salt because it's his first game. I thought he played better last week against the Patriots. Still really a lot of work to do. So it's been interesting because they've changed so many pieces along that offensive line. Joe Douglas has, you know, rearranged the deck of the Titanic in some respect because even though the names and the faces have changed over the last 2 years, you know, you could make a solid case that this offensive line today is worse than what it was when Joe Douglas took over.
Wow. And Manish Mehta covers the New York Jets as closely as anyone through the years, joining us here on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Robert Sala from 1,500 miles away. I really like Robert Sala. I like the way he comes off. I like his energy level. He's articulate, seems to really understand the game of football, high acumen. What are the early, you know, not necessarily narrative, but, you know, the tone around Sala?
Well, look, he's a likable guy, for one, and that's the antithesis of the guy he's replacing. So that's a check in Robert Sala's, you know, bank there. He brings a lot of energy. He brings a lot of juice. He obviously had a fair amount of success in San Francisco. So there's hope that, you know, he can bring some of that same energy and vitality to the Jets because what they were lacking, frankly, was a guy who could actually lead the entire team, not necessarily just one side of the football, but be a CEO in many respects. And he's got the temperament. You know, he comports himself extremely well. It's only two games, so you're obviously not going to criticize a coach for being 0-2 in his first two games. But I think, you know, he's got the right temperament. It's just a matter of, you know, juggling all the different balls in place when you're in charge. And then ultimately, it's about producing, right? You know, you give him a mulligan for the first couple of weeks of his head coaching career, but ultimately, this is a production business, and this team was 2-14 last year. You would expect a significant improvement upon that. You know, I don't think they're a playoff team by any stretch, but, you know, if they come away with a 2-3-4-win season, I think there'll be a lot of disappointed people in New York.
Manish, who are the Jets defensively?
Well, you know, much like the offense, they're a work in progress. Even though Saleh's not calling the plays, that's Jeff Ulbrich, he's calling the plays. It's a very similar defensive scheme that Saleh, you know, learned in Seattle. You know, you had to, you know, cover three. You don't necessarily blitz a lot. I mean, you're strategic about it, but they're not going to bring the house a lot. It's a very young back end. And I think when you look at the secondary, with Jamal Adams gone and with Marcus May, honestly, just kind of playing out the string, this will be his last year. They didn't re-sign him this offseason. I think he'll look to go elsewhere. Now, they have a very inexperienced group. You're talking about a rookie sixth-round pick at one of the starting corners. You're looking at a second-year fifth-round pick at the other starting corner. The strength of that defense should be the defensive line. You know, I haven't necessarily seen much of that this in the first 2 weeks, but Quinnen Williams is supposed to have a breakthrough season, and, you know, he didn't really have that last year. He's off to a slow start this year, but, you know, there's hope that the defensive line can keep him in games. They don't really have much of an edge-rushing presence. You know, that took a hit significantly when Carl Lawson, their big free agent signing, was injured with a season-ending Achilles issue in the offseason, or in the preseason.
Quick prediction for the week, Manish?
Well, I'm not necessarily buying the, you know, double-digit underdog thing for the Jets. I think, you know, Denver has been impressive without a doubt. I think the Broncos will win. I think it might be a bit more competitive than people in Denver might think it be. I would be very surprised, frankly, if the Jets got blown out in this game.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Manish, have a great one.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right, there he goes, Manish Mehta on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Says we'll be surprised if the Jets.
No surprises here. Beat down city. Seal club, all of that.
Mm.
For the Jets.
Mm.
That's what's going to happen on Sunday.
All right.
I'm feeling good. Another double-digit win. There you go. Oh. That's what I'm thinking.
So that would be, now we'd have to do a little bit of research.
When was the last time they've had three double-digit wins in a row?
Right. And then furthermore, to start a season. I mean, that... My mind goes to 2013, 2012, something like that. Where no, in 2012 you guys got off to kind of like just a mass start until the comeback against the Chargers. Then you guys went on a run.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Let's go back to some of this Robert Saleh audio. We were just talking about Saleh with Manish Mehta out of New York, and first Saleh acknowledged the difficulty of playing here a mile high above sea level.
You know, the altitude is always a deal. Their fan base is rabid. They're 2-0. I've got so much respect for Vic. I was a QC for the man way back. Feels like many, many years ago. But they've done a great job. They're year three in there with Vic, and they've got the pieces built together. Teddy Bridgewater does a fantastic job on offense. They've got their back end is very, very talented, and obviously Von Miller rushing the passer. So it's all in place, and their 2-0 start is not a fluke.
Their 2-0 start is not a fluke. When you were playing for other teams, let me ask you this. I don't know if I've ever asked you this. How many times did you come play in Denver when you were playing with other teams?
Oh, 4 or 5 times, I would say. Something
okay,
like
so
that,
so a decent amount.
Yeah.
A decent amount. How much was the conversation... the altitude conversation prior to coming to Denver?
Oh, it was there. It was there. You know, you always talk about hydrating, but it's even more emphasized. Hey, start this hydration, you know, early. But you got to get hydrated. You got to take it serious because of the altitude. And, you know, so that was always a big point of emphasis, is just making sure you're hydrating, you know, earlier than normal. Take it serious. But you're always aware, you know, coming up here, and you know, the lack of oxygen and those types of things. And so it is different, though, obviously, when you come from somewhere else and you're coming to town here and you're starting to run around. You're not used to the altitude. It's different.
Robert Saleh here discussing trying to slow down the Broncos starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, we got to play sound. And Teddy is just watching him. I have so much respect for his game. I think he's one of the more underrated starters in this league. His release, he gets rid of the ball really fast. He's a very good decision maker. He's very accurate. He puts the ball where it needs to be. So, and he can move a little bit. But, you know, so it's going to be a challenge in terms of trying to eliminate the explosives with these guys. They're explosive all over the football field on offense, but it's a challenge we're up for.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy is, you know, I like the way you broke him down there. Look, he's obviously the first two games he's been great. But what we kind of saw in preseason with Teddy and him being able to get to that second and third reads really quickly, getting rid of the football, finding his outlets and his checkdowns, you know, that's what he's done so well here. And being able to escape the pocket, he's been great. I mean, he's been great through a couple weeks, so... been a perfect fit here for what we've been looking for, and you know, hopefully we see it again on Sunday and that thing continues, because it should happen on Sunday, just like it should have happened last week and the week before. But I like, obviously I love what we've been seeing from Teddy and how he's operated and been able to get to those second and third reads. I think that's where that veteran presence really shows itself.
Yeah, and by the way, it's two different conversations when we talk about, hey, have you loved what you see? And do you think you're going to see it over and over and over again throughout the year? Like, if you are telling me that you have not loved what you've seen from Teddy Bridgewater, I would argue that you just don't know the game of football. Through two games, he has been as good as you could possibly be. His completion percentage is second in the NFL. His QBR is second in the NFL. His traditional passer rating is top 10. Doesn't have a single interception, tied for first in the league. He's been terrific. Will he continue to be terrific? You know, we just don't know yet. And I think there's a collection within Broncos country that is kind of like, you know, a big yeah, but when it comes to Teddy
Hold
Bridgewater.
Their breath.
Yeah, a little bit. And
well,
I am.
Yeah, I am also. Like,
same,
I'm
same.
Very optimistic about what I've been seeing. But at the same time, you know, when you have a up and down history like Teddy and he didn't play good last year, you're very hesitant to say, you know, this guy is going to be, you know, just special this year, week in and week out, which is hard to do, and I don't expect him to do that, but just for the majority of it, he's going to continue to play like he's been playing.
Right.
We're not going to see the interceptions. So I'm guarded with that, and it's like, okay, do it again. Can you do it again? Oh, not now. Can you do it against the Ravens? Now can you? Oh, can you do? What are you gonna look like against the Chiefs?
Right.
You know, so that's kind of, I think, where a lot of people are with Teddy, and that's where I am with him. Just kind of, okay, you got to keep proving yourself here.
Yeah, right.
We don't have a history with him, good or bad.
That's right.
We helped him in camp, but when you don't have a good history, then you know I'm still hesitant to say yes. This is awesome.
Right. Right. And there will be some moments. There's going to be some picks. There's going to be some losses. Broncos aren't going to go 17-0 this year.
They're not?
No. And you just know that when some of those low points happen, there's going to be folks jumping on the woodwork,
man,
saying, I told you, that's the Teddy we know. I told you should have started Drew Lock. I mean, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
The first sign of trouble. I mean,
right.
They're going to come out of everywhere. Out of the gutters, out of the back alleys, and here they come.
That's it.
You know it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to be a little bit patient and analyze the big picture, you know, when it's all out there, and ultimately, you know, we're in a rush to figure this position out. No one has started more quarterbacks since 2016 than the Denver Broncos. So I understand that there's a, you know, you want like hasty judgment. Like, we want the answer. We want the solution at this position. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to be able with conviction to really have those definitive conversations until after the season, and then even then there still may be, you know, doubt or, you know, whatever surrounding that position.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's the way it's going to be, and like you said, it's not going to be perfect. They're going to have some, you know, he will turn the football over. It's going to happen. So
will it be this weekend?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he continues a streak of no interceptions. And now we'll see next weekend when they play the Ravens. Obviously, a little bit different style of football that the Ravens play over there defensively than what we'll see with the Jets. But we know it's going to happen at some point. You know, they're going to have some down games, and Teddy's not going to play as well. But I think we all should see with what he's done the first two games that this is the right guy for the Broncos. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I don't know that yet.
Oh. So you still think that Drew should be the guy? I mean,
no.
That's the right guy
no.
for the Broncos
no.
this year, Zach?
Okay, I can go with you.
Yes. Well, you put that qualifier in.
You changed it. You said Teddy Bridgewater is the right guy for the Broncos.
Right. Well, I'm not talking about in 5 years. I'm talking about right now. This year.
Right now, yes.
This year.
How could I disagree? This year, yes, he is. He was. Given the choice between he and Drew Locke,
right.
By the way, I think it's now fairly obvious why the Broncos did what they did. Because after the competition was over, it was like, no, like you heard on social media, like, you know, Drew got screwed. You know, like Drew was railroaded. Drew won the job and they just picked Teddy. I think we're seeing why they picked Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes. We saw it in training camp. We saw it in preseason games. And, if what Mark Slare told us that Aaron Rodgers is here, right? Guess what? We wouldn't be having this conversation. I'd be telling you right now that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback not only this year, but for the future, Zach, in 2025. Let's just get it out of the way early.
Oh.
Day 33.
Stink did tell us night one of the draft that Rodgers is coming to Denver. The deal was all but done, and
the hair on your arm stood up.
The hair on my arms is standing up.
Get your bets in.
Tyler placed with me over his shoulder, encouraging him. Locked in a Super Bowl bet.
Yeah.
By the way, a pedal with Columbus tomorrow morning, rooting for Tyler, and donated a few dollars to. You know, I owed him some money. Said no, donated instead. But he's going to be out there riding his 50-mile race, and we're rooting for Tyler. If you see him, have a chance to interact with him on social media, wish him the best of luck. So you watched some tape. You watched some tape, Stoke.
Yeah, a little bit of film. A little bit of film.
You want to share some of your observations that may pop up on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, sure. You catch me a little off guard here. Usually you tease into this because, you know, this is like usually like a hit segment. You don't throw it at the back end of a segment. You know what I'm saying?
But it's all good.
I'm trying to tuck it where no one's going to see it. Right, I know.
Throw it under the bed.
I know. Like, you asked for this, and you made me do this.
Okay, now
you
hold
asked,
it. Hold
no,
it,
no,
then.
No,
no, no, no, no.
You
no,
asked
no,
for this
hold
earlier
it,
in the week. You made me do this homework. I did it, and then at the back end of a stinking segment, you're just going to throw it out there like, oh, Stokely, you watched some film. What is it?
No, you're right. This deserves to be up in lights.
No, it doesn't.
You can't backtrack now.
This deserves
to be up in lights. Just hang out there for a second. I want to bounce something else off. Change my mind.
Oh, okay.
Change my mind.
Yeah.
How about this?
It's too late, though. It's too late. You've already done a boo-booed all over my segment, you know, and now you're backtracking. Like, oh, no, well, I'll pump it up.
And
no.
We're flexible. I looked across the line of scrimmage, didn't like what I saw, changed the call.
Yeah.
Change
the
call.
You
already benched me. Yeah. You just benched me, and then now you're saying, no, I didn't mean to bench you.
Oh, Lord. I got to bounce this off you, though.
Okay, what do you got?
In all seriousness, Wild Card Weekend's going to have an interesting twist this year. Did you see this story? According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the NFL is tinkering with its Super Wild Card Weekend format, and I am here for it. Wild Card Weekend.
So the Super Wild Card Weekend is the first weekend?
Yep, it's the first weekend with the added teams. That's why they kind of like Super Wild Card Weekend, because it's now, I believe, four games. All right? But here's the kicker. Here's the new twist. According to Rappaport, Super Wild Card Weekend will now conclude with a Monday night football game. So you're going to have two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday.
Holy cow.
And one game on Monday night football to wrap up that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
Wow. That's great. Love it. That's smart. Yeah. Why not? I mean, why put another game on Saturday? I don't need three games on Saturday. Give me two.
Right.
Give me two on Sunday. Give me two on Monday. But I like it. I like spreading it out. 2-3-1, right?
2-3-1.
Perfect. Perfect.
How cool is that, man?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Stretching it out. But here's the question that I ask as a follow-up. Does this put the playoff team that wins on that Monday night at a legitimate competitive disadvantage playing a postseason game on a short week?
Wow. And now you got to flip around. They'll put you on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's not, you know, you're in a routine as a player. And your routine is usually you go in on Monday and watch some film. You know, do what you got to do, get a workout in, and then Tuesday you get your day off, and then you're preparing for the week on Wednesday. Well, that gets screwed up,
right?
In a big way. And now you got to, you know, instead of being able to do that on Monday, you're playing a football game, and if you're the away team, now you got to travel back. It's late at night,
right?
You're not getting the rest and recovery that you're used to. So that's a big deal. It is a big deal. I think some people on the outside looking in might say, "Well, I mean, come on, it's just one day." But it's a big deal in the football world, and so they would be at a disadvantage. You know, it's just one more thing that you have to overcome if you have to play on that Monday night,
right?
And to try to get back going again to play on Sunday, and then if you're traveling, also, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, all that thrown together.
That is a competitive disadvantage.
Yeah, so if you're one of those teams, you don't want the Monday game. You want the Saturday game.
That's right.
You want the extra day to get right and rest up and prepare for that next week. So, yeah, I love the new format, all right? And we're a long way from that. We're going to enjoy, what is it now, 16 more Sundays of NFL football, right? We got two in the bank. 16 more Sundays before we get to that point, and we're going to enjoy it in the meantime. All right, we are at we got about 2 minutes left in this segment. What'd you see on film? We're at the big house on Blake here, 18,000 square foot bar.
Bad guy.
Three different bars within the bar.
I'm not doing this next week, so don't even put the segment in next Friday.
Stop.
I'm not doing it.
So quit asking.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to, so quit asking me. You're not getting it next week, Zach. Sorry. I'm not breaking the Ravens down for you. Watch the film yourself, and you do the segment.
Oh, we're getting it next week. This week, next week.
For it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward.
Yeah, we're moving forward all right. We're here at Blake Street Tavern, 69 high-def TVs, three bars within the bar, 18,000 square foot a joint we got here. We got a whole game room downstairs. Watch parties for college football throughout the weekend.
Ryder Cup's on, baby.
The Ryder Cup.
I got it on the TV, so I don't know how focused I'll be the rest of the show. I finally got on the TV right here. It's here. Did you see the pictures of that place like at 6 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Oh, my goodness. You got to go on to social media.
It's at Whistling Straits, right?
Yes.
Wisconsin,
yes. You got to go on TV. And this place is like the grandstands around the first tee box were like they were already rocking.
Oh, wow.
And it's dark outside, getting ready to go for this thing.
Wow, wow, wow. Love it. Absolutely love it.
U.S. is up.
I was telling my father-in-law yesterday, he said, oh, the Ryder Cup will be on when you guys are on the air. That'll be cool. I said, no, not cool.
Right.
Not cool. We have to shut off the TV because, you know, Stoke is like, you know, squirrel, oh, look at this putt. He's in the middle of a sentence about the Jets. Yo, look at that.
Yep. You're actually going to have to, you know, do some lifting today. I can't carry the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. My muscles are already tired. Okay. Get down to Blake Street Tavern if you're considering stepping out for football this weekend. College, pro, all the games are on all of the time. All right, Stoke did, in fact, watch the film, and he gets a dedicated segment for it. And there is always something that Stoke mentions on a Friday during the film session that shows up on a Sunday. We'll find out what it is coming up next.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday, live from Blake Street Tavern. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Stokely, watch the film. He put the time in. He took the time out so he could put the time in.
There you go. There you go. I'll give you a few little nuggets today.
All right.
Just a few.
New York Jets, week three, chance to go 3-0. What did Gangrene put on film?
Well, they're a bad offensive football team that's trying to find their identity. But saying that, I do like their three running backs. And Manish Mehta hit on it. They averaged like over 4 yards a carry between the three of them. We're talking about the guy you mentioned a week or so ago, Michael Carter.
Yes, from North Carolina, the running back, fourth round pick.
Yep, teammates with Javonte Williams,
yep.
Right? He went for 11 for 59 last week.
Okay.
Runs the football hard, just like Javonte Williams. I mean, they both run the football kind of similar, both tough to tackle. So bring everyone to the party there. A guy named Ty Johnson. Don't know much about him, but also he looked good in the backfield. And then the old Wiley veteran, Tevin Coleman. We all remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Falcons, 49ers. Well, guess what? Now he's with the Jets, still doing good things over there. He had 24 yards on the ground. Ty Johnson had 50. I mean, they ran for 152 yards.
Wow.
On the Patriots. So, like, you
I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah. You have got to commit to stopping the run. Make Zach Wilson beat you with his arm. Stop the run. Put the pressure on him to go out there and beat you throwing the football. That's what you have to do. You can't let him be able to turn around and hand the football off and control the game on the ground. So they can run the football. And guess what? I'm assuming that that's going to be their game plan this week. After the way Zach Wilson struggled last week with the four interceptions, that they're going to come out and try to be really conservative, run the football, control the clock, shorten the game. And they're going to do it with these three guys, and they got two. They got three talented running backs back there.
And just to color in here, Ty Johnson was a sixth round pick in 2019 out of Maryland. Got drafted by the Lions. Now playing for the Jets.
Okay. And I got in my notes here. Take away their running game and keep Zach Wilson in the pocket. Obviously, very athletic guy.
Yes.
Makes a lot of plays outside the pocket. You saw him a lot at BYU, Zach. I mean, the guy can throw the football like Patrick Mahomes style, right? All the way across his body, off one leg, 50 yards. That's what he likes doing, and he thrives in it. So keep him in the pocket. Like, don't lose containment, Malik Reed, Von Miller, Jonathan Cooper, who else is playing outside linebacker. Keep him in the pocket. It's very important.
I like that. Like that a lot.
Make him operate, you know, in that. And that, you know, for young quarterbacks, the best thing to do is get out of the pocket, right? You don't have a lot of read, just kind of throw it on the run. That's natural. But staying in that pocket, having to go through progressions, that's a lot more difficult for him. So defensively, you see a young team and an immature team, like a lot of these, like Jacksonville, same thing.
Yep.
You know, they make a good play on defense, and guess what happened? A guy lined up offsides.
Jeez.
Just lined up offsides.
Yep.
Right? I mean, after, you know, you make a really nice play, you got momentum going, nope. You're going to find a way to screw it up. And, you know, they have plays like that, like the Jags did the first week against the Texans, just penalty after penalty. You also see some of the similar things there with the Jets. A defensive lineman that I saw that I hadn't heard of, a guy named Franklin Myers.
Yes,
John Franklin Myers. He had I think he's got a couple sacks for the season, but that's just a name that I hadn't heard of, and he showed up a few times early in that football game against the Patriots. So keep your eye on him. Obviously, they got Quinnen Williams from Alabama, their first-round pick a couple years ago. The defensive lineman there right in the middle, good football player. Shaq Lawson.
Remember him? First-round pick out of Clemson to Buffalo.
Out of Clemson, right. Played for Buffalo, then went to Miami, I believe.
Yes.
Do you remember what he was known – remember what we remember him for? Do you remember after we played him? He was not happy. I think it was with Connor McGovern comments or something before the game or after the game. And I remember him, and I think it was McGovern kind of getting into it a little bit. So that's how I remember Shaq Lawson. But a guy that I think got traded from Houston this offseason to the Jets. But obviously a very talented guy. Marcus May, you know, is probably the best player there in the secondary. A safety. Manish Mehta mentioned him, but a really good football player, Marcus May, their safety there. So they got some talent up front, and they're going to play hard. They do play hard. So it's tough defensively when your offenses continue to put you in bad situations like they were put in.
Yeah. And we've seen that here in Denver through the years.
Right. We can relate to that, obviously. So, you're looking at one of the interceptions that I saw from Zach Wilson, his third one of the day. And you mentioned earlier he had 4 and 10 passing attempts.
Yeah, at one point earlier than that, he had more interceptions than completions.
Wow.
Yeah, not ideal.
No, not ideal at all. The third one was on a corner route, and the defensive back undercut it. So that, you know, the defensive back was, you know, the guy's running from his in a slide on the left, and he's running towards the corner, and as a wide receiver, you have got to, when you need to flatten that corner route, you got to flatten it. You can't take that high angle and let the DB undercut it, and that's what happened on that one. So you look at some of these interceptions like that. And you say, you know, on paper, it's like Zach Wilson threw 4 interceptions. But at the same time, it's like the receiver's got to help the quarterback out a little bit more, right? And they don't have, Braxton Berrios, solid. You know, Elijah Moore, rookie from, is that Ole Miss?
Elijah Moore is from Ole Miss.
Yeah, rookie from Ole Miss. He's their playmaker now. You deep threat guy, shot play guy. Guy's a good receiver, but he's still young. And then you have Corey Davis. Remember him from the Titans, first-round pick out of Western Michigan. He's just average, right? So these are the guys that Zach Wilson is throwing the football to right now. Who's their tight end?
Their tight end is Tyler Croft.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Griffin and Tyler Croft, right? Nothing to write home about.
Not at all.
But my point is, on the corner route, like, the receiver's got to do a better job for the quarterback. Sometimes you take it on a high angle and you got to be able to flatten with the football. And sometimes you got to flatten depending on where the DB is. But when you don't have that time that you put in with the quarterback, all those little things that we talk about that you get in the offseason, you know, year after year, and you're just kind of throwing this thing together. It's a new offense. These are the mistakes that you see, stuff that we saw last year with the Broncos, right? And my point, once again, is that the 4 interceptions, you know, they're not all on Zach Wilson. He had one that got batted up like 3 times. Did you see the YouTube video from the kid?
I did. That's hysterical.
Unbelievable.
It's hysterical.
That, yeah, it's the greatest breakdown from this kid looking at the Jets play in one of the interceptions, and he breaks down the play really quickly, and if you can find it, watch it.
Yeah, we have the audio. The Drive had some fun with this 2 days ago. This is he's a 12-year-old, I think, right? Richie, a 12-year-old Jets fan gives a quick synopsis from this past week.
If there's one play that sums up the New York Jets, this one has to be it. This Patriots winning off the edge. This Jets lineman is probably holding. There's a Patriot charging up the middle at Zach with no blocking at all. This Jets dude is being pancaked on the ground. We have these two idiots staring at each other like, yo, what are we doing? I don't know, let's just stand here. We have 78 touching his own lineman. On top of that, we have 2 receivers with 0 separation, and the cherry on top has to be Zach Wilson throwing this pick. And Corey Davis has no hops.
And Corey Davis has no hops. You gotta love it. But on that play, right? I mean, look, the kid broke it down for you right there. And then Zach throws it into, you know, they got like 6 DBs around the wide receiver. Look, and it gets tipped up a couple times and intercepted. So you have plays like that. Obviously, Zach Wilson has a lot of talent, and he's capable of putting up numbers and doing some things. But right now, he's still trying to learn the game. And they got really conservative with Zach Wilson after a couple of interceptions. They really got conservative, and I think they're going to do that again. Like, you're going to see a conservative approach. Run the football. Let's not put too much on his plate. We don't want him to have another 3-4 interception game.
All right, I love it. And your boy John Franklin Myers that you highlighted, he's had a sack in 2 consecutive weeks. He's dealing with a calf injury.
Oh, baby calf or big boy calf?
Baby calf.
Okay.
He's expected to play, but he's not practicing during the week. So that's a name just to keep an eye on. John Franklin Myers played college football at Stephen F. Austin.
Powerhouse.
Stephen F. Jeremiah Trotter. Remember Jeremiah Trotter?
Yeah.
Went to Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, they got a good football program there.
Bum Phillips, also a Stephen F. Austin product.
Wade's dad.
That's right. All right. It is time. Great breakdown, Stoke. Thanks for watching that. I know our listeners enjoy
this
that.
This is it. Enjoy it. That's it. Finale.
Nah, we'll do it again next week.
I'm out.
All right. It's time to pick some more games. It's an awesome slate on Sunday afternoon and the best game of the week we've yet to break down, but we'll do it next.
To Bud Light Football Friday, live from Blake Street Tavern. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, let's pick some games. We don't have any disagreements yet, I don't think. Well, it's coming.
I think you're just trying to follow the lead here. I think I picked pretty much every game first, and you just
Why would I try to copy you when I've beaten you two consecutive weeks?
Well, because
that'd be a weird strategy, wouldn't it?
Well, you realize the end is near, and you're trying to hold on tight.
Oh, so
simple as that. Win more games.
I'm laying up.
Yeah,
I'm being conservative with the lead.
Yep.
I'm sitting on the ball.
That's right.
Like the Vikings.
Yes.
Couldn't make a 37-yard field goal last week to cover an 18 parlay when 7 wins already in my pocket, Vikings?
Oof. Yeah, that one hurt.
You kidding me? And then they call it good on the broadcast and it's not good?
It's good.
Oh, my God, it went right. Paul Allen, we got eyes. He missed the kick. You tell me it's good.
Oof.
I'm never letting that go.
Yeah, you should.
I'm never letting that go.
That was an all-timer.
It's good!
Oh, he missed it.
I mean, you can't make that up.
You can't make that mistake on a game-winning field goal.
Right.
That's on their radio. That's not on TV where people can see it with their eyes.
Right.
People are in their cars driving like,
great
yes,
point.
Baby.
Great point. Great point.
We got this. Wait, what? No? What do you mean no? Like, you can't make that mistake.
When you just isolate the good.
Right.
Like, that is hilarious.
That's not good.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's pick some games here. The Colts. The Colts are 0-2. Carson Wentz has three sprained ankles, I think.
Ugh.
He's got one high, one low, one side. The other side is just low. I don't know what's going on with him. But they're traveling to Tennessee to play a 1-1 Titans team. The Titans are a 5-point favorite. I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
On the heels of your accusatory tone. The Colts run defense. How about this? This is interesting. The Colts' run defense has been one of the best in the league the last three seasons. In the last three seasons, they've allowed 100 or more rushing yards just three times. Think about that. Three times in three seasons. But somehow, through two games this year, Seattle week one ran for a 140. Rams ran for over 100. I don't know about this Colts team, Stoke. I was a little bit bullish on them in the preseason. I got a feeling they're going 0-3 by the end of Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if Carson Wentz is playing or not. And behind him is it Eason?
Jacob Eason. Washington,
who,
right?
Who had his first action last week in relief of Carson Wentz and threw a pick to Jalen Ramsey. Look, if Wentz doesn't play, they haven't been running the ball very effectively with Jonathan Taylor this year. I don't know if they can score with the Titans. And you made a good point there. If you can't stop Derrick Henry, guess what the Titans are going to do? More Derrick Henry.
Right.
And that's an issue. So I'm going Titans.
It should be worth noting that the Colts are 8-1 outright in their last 9 trips to Tennessee. That is uncanny. 8-1 outright in the last 9 trips to Tennessee. That'll be 8-2 by Sunday afternoon. All right, you got the 2-0 Cardinals against the
The Colts are 8-1?
8-1 outright in their last 9 trips to Tennessee. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow, somebody double check that, please.
I'm just telling you.
I know, I'm just asking. I'm just make sure we double check.
The Cardinals are 2-0.
So they've won 8 out of the last 9 games.
That's 8-1 outright,
wow.
I mean, in the last 9
games. Tennessee.
That's what I said.
The Colts. That's the Titans.
Okay.
That's wow. I'm just clarifying here.
The 2-0 Cardinals traveling to the 0-2 Jacksonville Jags. Arizona is a 7.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You picking the Jags?
I'm not picking the Jags.
Look, we talked about the Jags last week. We watched them play last week. They stink. I don't know. They stink. I can't pick them. So I'm going Cardinals and Coach Van Joseph's defense to go 2-3-0.
I like it. Whatever the over prop is on Kyler Murray's passing yards, I'm going to take the over. The Jags have given up 619 passing yards and four touchdowns. Stoke, that was against Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Covers. What's Kyler Murray going to do? Kyler Murray is averaging nearly 350 passing yards a game. Do you realize that? Nearly 350. Unbelievable. And by the way, a little bit of a history here. Jags have lost 17 consecutive games. If they lose 18 straight, that'll be the fifth longest losing streak in NFL history. Hey, Urban Meyer, how you liking the NFL? Huh? Oh, this time of year you're used to playing Kent State? Okay. All right, settle in. It's going to be a long season.
Oof. Poor Urban.
In the Something's Gotta Give game, you got the 0-2 Falcons against the 0-2 Giants.
0-2 Falcons. What did I tell you about the Falcons?
That you hate them, you can't stand them, you're going to bet against them every single week moving
forward. Yep, there you go. Give me the Giants.
Falcons.
And Daniel Jones.
Falcons lost the last five games of 2020, meaning they're on a seven-game losing streak. That program has just gone down the tube, man. I'm with you. New York Giants, they're going to win at home, get their first dub of the year.
They played well last. They should have beat the Washington team.
They should have.
That Thursday night game on the road. They had them on the ropes, guys dropping passes, guys jumping off sides on the stinking game-winning field goal. The kicker missed. I mean, they just gave that game away. But I think they win handedly.
Okay. You got the 1-1 Miami Dolphins coming off a week where they lost 35-0 at home to the Buffalo Bills. Ooh. They traveled to Las Vegas against the 2-0 Raiders. Raiders may be one of the most surprising teams in the NFL. Derek Carr is playing like an MVP. 817 passing yards in two games. In two games, 817. That's 128 yards more than who's second place in the National Football League. They go to 3-0 on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with the Vegas team.
Okay, that brings us to, in my mind, the best game of the week. If I had one game to watch other than the Broncos game...
Yep, I know which one you're going with.
It is the 2-0 Tampa Bay Bucks traveling to the bright lights of Los Angeles to play the 2-0 Rams, the revived Rams. Matthew Stafford playing terrific. Both teams undefeated. Tampa Bay is a one-point favorite. I'm going to go first here. Tampa Bay is going to lose their first football game of the year. Sean McVay getting a little redemption over Tom Brady from the Super Bowl 3 years ago. I think the Rams go to 3-0.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I've gone back and forth with this one. Bucks traveling across country. They have some COVID issues. I don't know if it's is Antonio Brown playing? Is he not playing? So this is a tough one. How many more games do we have left to pick?
Just after this one, 1-2.
Can I push pause on this one?
Oh.
Can I push pause on this one, Zach?
If you went first, would you have picked the Rams?
Can I push pause on this one?
Ah, there's my answer.
It's up in the air. It's up in the air for me. Can I push pause on it? That's my question.
Go ahead and play the end of that clip, Richie. If you're gonna push the button,
push a button.
Let the sound bright.
Brother, this guy stinks.
Yes.
I'm taking a 30-second. Go for it.
Okay.
Give me the other ones. Let's go.
All right. We got Seattle traveling to Minnesota. The Seahawks are 1-1. This game would be the Vikings' first win if they were able to pull it off. They're 0-2. They should have won that game a week ago. Russell Wilson is 7-0 in his career against Minnesota. That's tied for the second best by any active quarterback against any single opponent. And that streak comes to an end this weekend. The Vikings at home knock off the Seahawks. Oh. They are a live dog, and this weekend, the dogs will bark.
Wow. I can't go Kirk Cousins, Zimmer over Russell Wilson and Petey Carroll. So after that loss last week, I think it refocuses the Seahawks. They go on the road and get a win. I can't trust Kirk Cousins. I can't trust the Minnesota Vikings. Just something's not right there. There's something's not right. I'm going Seahawks on the road.
All right. There's our first disagreement. We get to the Sunday night football game. Packers at the 49ers. This is a good second best game of the week after the Bucks and Rams.
Yes, absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers going to San Francisco, Sunday night football. It looks like the San Francisco 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite. Who do you like here?
Yeah, I'm going 49ers at home. Just something about the Packers right now. I'm just not vibing with them. Their defense, they couldn't get any pressure on Jared Goff. They got blown out the first week. Now, Aaron Rodgers got some things going, but I'm not buying the Green Bay Packers right now. I'm not buying Aaron Rodgers and what they're trying to sell me right now. They got to go out there and do it again before I believe that they're back to where they've been the last couple years. So I'm going 49ers at home.
Last week, Aaron Rodgers said we get the trolls off our back for a week.
Oh, what, guess who are they getting off their back now?
Guess what? The trolls are jumping back on. The trolls are jumping back on. Green Bay has allowed 5 sacks in 2 games against New Orleans and Detroit. They're going to see the best pass rush that they've seen this season in San Francisco. Is David Bakhtiari back yet? No, he's not.
No.
Aaron Rodgers, remember he was talking about after he played the Broncos, we don't even have to wash my jersey. It's so clean.
Yeah,
I'm going to go have a glass of scotch and go a 4-finger pour. Oh,
that's right.
Guess what, Aaron?
Uh-oh, Aaron.
You're going to need a double after you get hit in the mouth the way that you're going to get hit on Sunday night. Give me the Niners to win and cover.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
You done messed up, A-Ron!
Oh, my goodness. A lot of hate in there.
And your 30-second timeout is over. Your pick for Bucks and Rams, undefeated against undefeated, as well as our favorite play of the week, lock of the week, is coming right up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.